jelenti, 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 So, Hare Krishna. I hope you are all alive after a long day of seminars and many informations. Be happy that you don't come from America at the moment and have a jet lag on top of everything. I would like to start my seminar today. The title is of the day is Dhruva's Way. I needed to just make one little summary of what we heard yesterday. You remember yesterday we talked about the idea of transformation as opposed to the idea of what? Transcending or just leaving something behind. I want to say, make a little correction, because it's not actually a correction, an addition. Yesterday there was one sentence where I said, we were all taught up till now the philosophy of transcending. And now I will teach you the philosophy of transforming. That's not right. It did, if it came over like this for some of you, Srila Prabhupada has taught us both changing the level of our consciousness by spiritual activities, but he has very often spoken about the change of heart and what I'm speaking, or transformation and what we are learning. Is really all about that aspect of Srila Prabhupada's teachings. It's in other words both within our spiritual education. It's not that it is entirely new or so on. Mm-hmm. You remember that one person has said that a typical transformation journey comes when a person experiences a call, something which stirs his soul up, and then when he answers to the call, it means he has to go out of his comfort zone and leave something of his old life behind often. And of course there's some little resistance to this. But if he has made this call, then something very wonderful happens. Especially in a tradition like the Vedic tradition, it is often said that when you sincerely pray to Lord Krishna, please, my Lord, I so much wish to come close to you. At that time, the spiritual master or the guide appears. The spiritual master will appear when a soul is sincerely ready. Even if you have a spiritual master and have a service relationship to him, you will find out that your relationship to your spiritual master will become rich and enthusing at the moment where you sincerely call out for the Lord. And the way this is arranged is very divine and very hope and inspiring giving. When Krishna hears someone calling sincerely out for him, he hears it as a super soul. And when the urgency of the call is there, then he will send his the devotee of him of his, so that the devotee can take on the guidance and take our case. Now, this happened in the life of Dhruva Maharaj. The spiritual master appeared and gave him an instrument of force, or we can say it in our tradition, a certain method, which we will hear about today, so that he could attain his spiritual goal. But first, let us go to Dhruva Maharaj. That little boy, going in the through the forest and calling out, "Where are you? Where are you, my lord?" Finally, he stopped at a place and did not really know how to start his spiritual search. At that time, Narada Muni appeared, having been sent by the Lord to help Dhruva Maharaj on his way. Narada Muni didn't make it easy, however. He first tested Dhruva Maharaj's determination to see whether Dhruva Maharaj was ready or not. He came and touched Dhruva Maharaj's weary head with his forehead, and he wiped away the sweat and the tiredness of Dhruva and said, "How wonderful! You are very determined." Dhruva Maharaj was very happy to see the saintly person and greeted Narada Muni in the traditional way, and then Narada Muni continued, "But you are here because you felt you had been offended by your stepmother. Don't you know that respect and disrespect are given to us by our karma?" A very important instruction. When we are respected, we get it's the result of our karma. When we are disrespected by someone, it has to come. We had created this karma. So, and the karma is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So don't take it so serious. Don't be so absolutely upset. Be satisfied. And know one thing. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom you wish to realize, is so very difficult to realize. Great saints go and don't realize him. Why do you think you will realize him? I give you an instruction for your own good. Listen very carefully. Keep him in the heart, God in the heart. Go home, keep him in the heart. And then act in three ways to people so that you have some social peace. Those who are higher up, you should always respect them. Those who are your equals, you should make friendship with them. And those who are junior to you, or maybe even ignorant, you should mercifully help them. Then there will be peace in your social dealings. A very good instruction. When Dhruva Maharaj heard this, "Go home and have Krishna in your God in your heart," he became more determined. He said, and this is what a person who wants to go the path of transformation must also go through. He must affirm his stand. He must be sure what he wants. He must have his spiritual goal set clear before his eyes. Dhruva Maharaj said, "I'm a Kshatriya. You should know, my heart is pierced. There's a wound, a javelin. My stepmother has hurt me very much. I have only one desire. I wish to ascend to a position which was not attained by any of my forefathers, and also not by Lord Brahma. I want to have a kingdom bigger than what Lord Brahma has." because I was denied my right, my rightful share of the kingdom. Well, when Narada Muni saw this, he was very pleased. Obviously, he could see that there was a material motivation in Dhruva's determination. But there was at least determination. You need to have determination on your spiritual path, especially in Krishna consciousness, which aims so high, you know, at the loving relationship with the Lord. You need to have even an enthusiasm for this. Then Dhruva continued, "If I do not attain the lotus feet of Sri Hari, I will never return home. You, Narada Muni, are like the sun who travels for the benefit of all. Please help me. You also have come here to enlighten me." Narada Muni said, "All right." And then he gave him an instruction, which I would like to repeat with you, and I would like to follow this. I would like you all to follow this instruction also. Some parts. I will now say, go to the banks of the Yamuna. I don't mean it like this because I'm so attached to give this seminar for your upliftment, so please don't leave us. But he said to Dhruva, go to a holy place. Go to the banks of the river Yamuna, in the sacred forest of Madhuvan, bathe three times a day to be purified both externally and internally, and then calm your mind down by the pranayama exercise. So it is exactly here where we will start today's workshop. I would like you to go with me into the into a somewhat simplified form of the processes which are done in yoga. Please know that Dhruva Maharaja's path or way is the way of the yogi. And the Hatha Yogi, who is opening his eyes towards bhakti. It's a mixture of bhakti with the practices of Hatha Yoga. So I will do something with you now, and I would like, how are you? Are you ready to start? There's one devotee we have lost already. No, you were already meditating. Good. Thank you very much. I think we can dare it. We just open the windows a little bit so that we have nice fresh air at our disposal. And then we can... are you ready? Would you like to try? Good. Really pray to Krishna because this is now very sacred and holy. Please be so kind to sit erect. If you require the support of the back chair, it is, you can do so. If you feel you don't require it, then this might help you a little bit better to sit in an erect position. Please put your hands on your lap. Please see if you are situated properly. That means if you feel comfortable. fix your attention on the nose and look to the nose. And if you are a little child, you might consider to come back after the meditation, being guided by your parent, because we need some peace for this. Please close your eyes. And move your legs a little bit. Build a little tension in the legs. Then place your feet on the ground and relax your legs entirely. Now go to your trunk. Move it a little back and forth. Try to build up a tension by holding a position, a curved position, maybe to the right or left side. And then sit straight and relax it again. Thank you. Now please move your shoulders a little up and down, as if you're shrugging your shoulders, somewhat exaggerated. Pull them high as, and hold this position. Build the tension and relax them. Now move your head from the left to the right side. Move it as far as you can comfortably stretch it. And then hold it straight and relax. Thank you. Please breathe in now through your nose. And breathe out through your nose. As you breathe in, you will feel how your chest, the bones of your chest, will move a little upward. And as you breathe out, you will feel how your shoulders come a little bit forward. Please don't only breathe in the area of the chest, but breathe deeply into the stomach. As you breathe in, your stomach should come out. And as you breathe out, you use the muscles of your stomach to gently push the air outside. For a moment, please concentrate on your breathing. This exercise becomes now very simple. You only have to watch your breath. When your attention starts to go to some point you have heard, or something which you might still have to do, like writing mail or so, please discontinue the thought for now and bring it back to your breathing. In and out. Lord Krishna says that he is the prana, the in and outgoing. The prana is with you from the morning to the evening, from the time of your birth to the time of your departure from this body and this earth. Trust your prana, who is one of the many forms of Lord Krishna. And only be with your prana. do really some work with it. In other words, breathe in deeply, then breathe out deeply. Be alert, but peaceful. As you will hear now, the instructions of Lord Krishna on meditation, and also the instructions of Narada Muni, please be alert, but very calm. And as you hear the instructions, please follow the flow of these instructions. Use your alertness to direct your mind. Please meditate on the area of your heart. Go inside that area, the seat of your mind and the emotions. Think of someone or something which you like very much. Maybe Srila Prabhupada. Maybe your spiritual master. Maybe a good friend. Maybe a nice situation. To remain with this feeling of pleasure and appreciation. And now try to see the area of your heart, a lotus flower. A lotus flower like you have seen it on the many different Krishna conscious illustrations. Now turn your mind to the sun. The sun on a summer day. Try to go into the sun or be with the sun. And now meditate on the moon, the full moon. Maybe you have seen such a full moon in Gopunim in Siddhamayapur or in your own home place. After you have placed the moon in the sun, place fire in the moon. And all this on the whirl of the lotus of the in the heart. And now place Krishna's transcendental form within the fire, moon and sun. The form is perfectly proportioned, gentle and cheerful. The Lord stands on the whirl, the lotus of your heart. Please direct your attention through the jewel-like nails of his lotus feet, which are always glittering. Please see now his feet, which are decorated with golden ankle bells. Please move upwards and see the lower part of his body dressed in beautiful yellow silk garments. His dhoti goes up to his waist. And see in your mind's eye a tiny little chain with tiny little golden bells. Now please move upwards and slowly arrive at his beautiful chest, which emanates a dark, deep, bluish hue or complexion. And there on his chest, see the circular form of the Srivatsa, the sitting place of the goddess of fortune. And next to it, a red, ruby-like jewel, which is carved like a calf, the famous Kustuba jewel. Please now see a beautiful garland woven with flowers from the forests and bunches of tulsi in between. And please see the four arms of the wonderful form of the Lord. In his lower left hand, he has a whitish effulgent conch shell. And above the conch shell, a fire discus. And in the upper right hand, a club. And in the lower right hand, a lotus. And now see the helmet of the Lord, bedecked with glistening jewels. Now you can look into the eyes of the Lord. Eyes which are like oceans of mercy. Now you can look at the lips of the Lord, who are pinkish like the rising sun. Please look again at these beautiful eyes, so full of mercy, and know the Lord is prepared to grant shelter to all the surrendered souls. Krishna is in this form always calm, so peaceful, quiet, and pleasing to our eyes and mind. He is always smiling, and he glances full of mercy. If you concentrate on this form, said Narada Muni, you will never of your mind. slowly we turn our internal eyes towards the sky, the blue sky, we gently fold our hands, we chant one mantra. After this we can open up. We have our eyes closed at this moment. Please repeat this mantra which Narada Muni gave to Dhruva Maharaj. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. When you are ready, please gently open your eyes again. You might like to stretch yourself a little bit to come back into our reality. It was a different chanting of the mantra, isn't it? It was very powerful. It sounded really like... I want to tell you the sources of this little meditation so that you can look it up in your own and read in the Bhagavatam. What I did in the beginning is not really was not part this relaxation of the body and you know, tension and relaxation. That is one of the systems in the yoga exercises. It's a principle. You stretch your muscles and you then relax them to get whatever is blocked out of your system and let the prana energy flow. It was, but I only did it, I do this because we are usually very tense and it's difficult to come into a meditative mood. So we do this to beginning. The breathing can be done much more complicated, like when it, usually it speaks of three techniques in the Bhagavatam. Purvaka, Kumbhaka, and Rechaka. Purvaka means inhaling. Kumbhaka means stopping the breath at... What was the other? No, I must look in my... Rechaka means breathing out. Or in the other way around. I really must say, I don't know. No, but it's always... You breathe in, hold the breath, and breathe out. I didn't do this... because it might be too complicated. And the idea can be done by simple breathing in and out also. So we did this in a simplified way. Dhruva Maharaj did it much more complicated, the pranayama. This element of, you know, visualizing a lotus in the heart is from Narada Muni's instructions. And the element of putting fire, no, sun, moon, and fire. It is coming in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam when Krishna answers Uddhava's question, what is meditation? And he says, do this. First go to the sun, the moon, and the fire. You will internally clarify a lot by bringing this mental light inside. This is the idea. And then, visualize the beautiful form of the Lord. That, again, I have taken this whole section from the Bhagavatam, where Narada Muni instructs Dhruva Maharaj. It's very interesting that all the meditational techniques which you find, either on Vishnu or on Krishna, end always by meditating about the smile of the Lord. I find this very significant. The Lord who smiles, and you should meditate about the smile of the Lord. And fix yourself on nothing else than the smile. There are such instructions. When you meditate about Krishna, you see so many wonderful details in the form, but at the end, you look at the smile of the Lord and his cheeks emanating with light and the dancing earrings, which make a certain light and so on. So, yes, you have done a meditation which was done by Dhruva Maharaj, the essence of meditating on the Lord, and you have gone there by a little bit more simplified form of the Hatha Yoga system. I do hope that this was helpful to give you a little idea. I realize that it's not so easy to just meditate on commando, and therefore I just went quickly through it. Not so quickly, I hope, that you were becoming angry with me, that you couldn't stay with something. So if you would like to do this, you can use some of these guides, and you could experience this. But Narada Muni's instructions didn't stop here. He said to Dhruva Maharaj, make a deity of the Lord. He described the different elements which can be used, and said if they are not available, you can just take the soil and water, just the clay deity of the Lord, and offer regular and do puja to this deity, and offer regularly the forest fruits to the deities. Very nice instructions. I have seen devotees of bhaktas who had gone, for instance, I remember one who had gone on an island to just think where to go from now, after reading the Gita, if he should join Krishna consciousness or maybe go to the university and continue the studies. And this bhakta told me in the time he was on the island, he offered every day fruits from the island to Lord Krishna and found that very, very conducive to his devotion. So this simple offerings are also advised by Narada Muni to Dhruva Maharaj. Then Narada Muni left Dhruva to perform this process and went to Uttanapad. Who was Uttanapad? Fatherji, Peterji. Uttanapada was totally disturbed when he heard that Dhruva Maharaj had left the kingdom, gone in an undisclosed part of the wild jungle for austerities and meditation. And from morning till evening, he could only think of one person, Dhruva Maharaj, with a fatherly thinking, and was very disturbed. What have I done to my little boy? And was, will tigers eat him? He thought like this. And by meditating about Dhruva, please listen to this, he somehow shared in the benefits from Dhruva's advancement and became disattached from everything else. Hare Krishna. This was Dhruva's way for today. We will continue tomorrow, and you will not believe your ears what Dhruva Maharaj did to intensify his practice, and you will say clearly, this will not be my way when you hear it. I will not tell you the coming attractions from the Bhagavatam now, but it is really very nice. Very interesting. Good. Could you follow along? Was it doing something for you? You look at least peaceful. This is one result. Some feedbacks which we can hear? Eka Chakra? Eka Chakra says, when we listen to this process here, we become aware that it is a very conscious process, preparing the mind, directing the mind, and so on. He feels that sometimes in the chanting we do not do it so conscious, and it becomes a little automatic. Yes. You will see, when you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, ultimately, you should meditate on the meaning of the mantra. My dear Lord, please engage me in your service. Please accept me. And we will do this in a moment. So, do something. Now, thank you very much. A very important principle is visible here. Oh, I forgot my little notebook. And that yesterday, I spoke with one very nice devotee, and he said, okay, yesterday you have prepared us a little bit for the transformation work, but you have not really told us how the transformation will work. Here you saw a principle which you see in all other practices of Vaishnava transformation work. You invite, somehow you make contact with the Lord, who is totally of a spiritual dimension, who is in a way like fire, by this contact of the Lord, this deep concentrated contact, as we have heard from Eka Chakra, it must be, you can't be absent-minded in your activity of devotional service, the Lord will purify you, because he's like the sun who purifies everything with his rays. In other words, the idea of Vaishnava transformational work, the main idea, is really to invite the Lord to do the transformation. Srila Prabhupada has often given us a very nice example of iron which is held into the fire. The iron becomes slowly transformed into fire by the contact of the fire. So if you want to study the principles of spiritual transformation work, you must somehow or other, Rupa Goswami says, make a deep felt contact with the Lord and his Bhakti Shakti, the spiritual energy. There is a verse in the Bhagavatam which goes like this: Bhakti Parishano Bhavo Viraktiya anyatra chaisha eka, and so on. It says basically that for someone who applies the process of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead through bhakti, he will have the following realizations. Love, devotional love, bhakti will enter his heart. An experience of Krishna will come, and a detachment from matter will be there. And he says, this is bound to happen if you make this contact. This is one of the yogis, Navayogendras. He says, this is bound to happen just like someone who eats will necessarily, in the beginning, feel some, you know, satiation, some pleasure is there. Ooh, so pleasurable in the stomach. And then he will feel after some time some sense of fulfillment. And he will say, thank you, I'm very satisfied now. No need. However, this example is pointing at another example. You will not never get enough from bhakti when you practice bhakti. This is the blessing of Lord Krishna. Whoever starts bhakti will want more and more and will not get bored. Like, not like a pizza eater who eats pizza and after some time, like we yesterday, we feasted pizza down our pipe, and we felt after some time, thank you very much, but it was very good, but now we can distribute it to the other hungry men. Hare Krishna. So it's important to note that the bhakti, the part of transformation becomes possible by this principle, contacting the Lord. I will look at Braj Bihari Prabhu. Have you come to relay an information? Okay. Yes. Yes. Well, no. I have a very wonderful slideshow. It is showing. We have gone on an expedition in recent years to many places and wanted to find where we find traces of our Lord in the different cultures. So we have some amazing pictures of South India. And then we go to Cambodia in the jungle. We will be able to see a real jungle. And then we will see the flying people of Manipur. You will see people actually flying. The first documented slides on this phenomena. And you must all come. It is at 7:30 in this room. Hare Krishna. I'm trying to get a good group of devotees together, as you can see. So let me do like this now. I've seen the meditation took much longer than I expected, so that I cannot go through the other processes of transformation, where I have interesting exercises. I hope interesting exercises. I will do this tomorrow because it's very important. Here I would like to just tell you a little bit more on this principle of transformation so that you can detect this principle of making a solid contact with the Lord and then having Him like the sun just transform your persona. I would like to tell you a story of Jiva Goswami, and then it will take about 5 minutes, and then I would like to open the forum for possible questions. I do not know if there are questions at that time. And then we will end in proper time at 7 o'clock. Yes. I feel this is now very important information for you. It is simple, but if you think about the information, you will become very enlivened, and I feel in some ways very empowered. It's very important for devotees to understand the principles, because once you know the principles, you have an equipment with you which really equips you for life skills. Principles you can always apply, whereas detailed formulas and detailed rituals maybe, which are dependent on certain places, environments, and also your tools, physical tools like an aratic paraphernalia or so, they may not be always available. If you want to become a deep devotee who does transformational work, it's highly important that you understand this principle. And if you now will listen to this principle a little bit more in detail, I think you will learn or you will appreciate the contribution of Srila Prabhupada to spiritual theology, I mean to spiritual teachings, because you will see how carefully he drove this principle into his teachings, and how he really taught it here and there in lectures and morning walks and room conversations. By his personal example, he really wanted to make sure that we understand the principle. And the principle is simply like this: connect with Krishna in your life. This is yoga, and according to the Bhagavad Gita, the highest form of yoga, because Lord Krishna says in the 6th chapter that no yogi is higher than he who is always connected with him. Something like this: Yoginam api sarvesham mat katena antaratmana, who has made him the goal of his life. Jiva Goswami says contact with Krishna is so entirely potent that anyone who has it will benefit from it. And the first time I really thought deeply about it was when I was in the Kathmandu airport. I'd just come from Kailash in Tibet, and I had waited for the flight. I thought it would never leave Kathmandu, and there was a Buddhist man. He was a European, and I was very restless, and I thought, let me put my mind into something else and talk with him. And he was actually a very nice man. He built a huge Buddha statue, which was 50 meters high or so in Bihar. He was the director of it, an American Buddhist. And he was very enthusiastically telling me about his project, and he said, you know, there is one statement in the scripture that there was once a Buddha statue, and there was a rat. The Buddha statue where people lived, and there was a type of kennel around it, which was an irrigation, Bewässerungskanal, yes, irrigation. Thank you for your expert word. Irrigation. And now in this irrigation, in this canal, there was a poor rat who was on some piece of floating wood and was encircling the Buddha. And after he had done this three times, the rat went into nirvana. Or wherever. So he said, isn't this wonderful? And I said, yes, certainly. And let me now tell you something from Jiva Goswami. Oh, yes. I had appreciated him. He was now ready for religious dialogue. I said, this is the principle of bhakti. You come in contact with Krishna, even in an unwilling way, and you come into the process of devotional service, and then you make so much advancement. And I told him this from the Bhakti Sandarbha about the rat who went on an altar, and he saw, the rat was very hungry, he saw the light of the lamp slowly extinguishing. Now, because he had He needed glasses or so. He didn't see so well. He thought, this is a piece of cheese. And bit into this wick, thinking of cheese. The rat was highly surprised, if not shocked, when all of a sudden the wick caught fire by this movement. It was moved. And it got stuck. It was stuck in the tooth. So he had this fire before him and was very, very shocked and began to try to get rid of the wick by making like this. Maybe not the most perfect Arctic, but the Arctic was then. but still, it was so shocked, the poor rat, that it died out of intense shock. And now, as it died, the form, the spiritual form of the rat came out of the rat. Instant transformation or enlightenment. and was standing there, and then went back to Vaikuntha. I told him this. See, I told him, this is so important in our tradition, and I can see this now, it is visible in your tradition as well, that there are powerful processes which bring you in contact. And I told him, what we are discussing here is now agyata sukriti, making benefit without one's knowledge. Now imagine someone consciously, on the basis of deep faith, applies these spiritual processes. How wonderful it is. And we both sat there, Buddhist and Vaishnava alike, and we were laughing with happiness, you know, and yes, isn't that wonderful? And he was thinking of Buddha, and I was thinking of Krishna, and we almost walked, you know, arm in arm on the airplane, which then came, and, you know, because we were totally inspired by our conversations. And it is inspiring. If you connect properly with the processes of bhakti, then you will see how a transformation takes place. We will talk tomorrow a little bit on these processes, and we will actually do them. It won't be process. And then, what is tomorrow, please? Is it Friday? Friday, and then Sunday, I want to go with you on a exercise. I've done this with two people before I did this. It really works. One started to cry, actually, in happiness. So that will be also done. But now, I will open the thing for question. In my heart, I'm feeling a little bit like this, that maybe I disappoint some of my audiences. He's again saying to us we should chant properly and we should read properly and do Mangal Arati properly and so on. Everything will come. I have done this for 20 years. I came to this course to hear something new. I have made sure that I tell a lot of new things because I know this feeling is there. And I'm also like this. When I go to a course, I want to learn something which I have not yet understood before. But I really feel it is my great duty and my great loyalty to our parampara to make this point clear. The transformation will take place by Krishna's mercy. You will need Krishna and Krishna's presence for this. Hare Krishna. So I want to see now. I saw two people at once, so maybe we should start here. Can you do me a favor? Because then we don't have to repeat. No, actually, sometimes it's nice to repeat the question. Yes, Gaurashi Ramani. We have two microphones. Where? Oh, then take this microphone. Then it's much nicer. Speak, please, loud into the microphone.
I have a question which I feel relevant, at least for me, regarding to this journey. It says it's not dependent on karma and jnana, means from our birth and everything. So when
our what?
Yeah, birth and birth. All these things. Yes. So when Dhruva, when Narada saw the incredible determination of Dhruva Maharaj, he said, as I remember, oh, he's a Kshatriya, he has this determination. Because he feels offended and so he wants to get revenge. So his determination was a matter of his karma. So now my question is, how can we develop, maybe not the same, but at least a shadow of that determination without having the tendency for it?
Yes, this is a very good question. I will try to answer the questions as precise as I can. Certainly Dhruva Maharaj had some extraordinary qualities. Determination is actually a quality which also comes from the mode of goodness. That steadfast, fast determination which is not wavering is determination in the mode of goodness, says Krishna in the 18th chapter. So it's not just only a birth... Kshatriya symptom. How can we develop determination? In the story of Dhruva Maharaj, it says at the end, one should listen to the story of Dhruva Maharaj and then one will develop determination. I want to request you to make this experiment with the Bhagavatam, to take the words of the Bhagavatam and make an experiment on it. There is a Shruti Phal. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this. Well, this is another thing. I have done this purposefully when I was in desperate need of money. We had made a life member, and the life member had put his donation at a place in his room. It was a bigger donation. Then there was fire in the house and the money burned. So I was very frustrated when I heard this. He phoned me that I can't become a life member. The donation has burned. But be merciful, we need the Lakshmi, we are poor brahmacharis. Then I remembered I had just finished reading Prito Maharaj, and it says anyone who reads this will become wealthy. So I said, please, you are a grihastha, I can't do this. Read the story of Prito Maharaj and there should be new money should come according to this. I was so desperate, we really needed Lakshmi. And he did so, and he phoned me and said, someone has died, and somewhere they thought of us, and you will get double the amount now, and so on. We have enough. Please read about Dhruva Maharaj. You will become determined. You have seen this. Gaura Shiromani has written the most literary novel you can imagine. It says Kali Comes. There is a lot of deep spirituality in there, and I think if you read and see these examples, you also think you feel some determination. I mean, when I saw Manu going on his legs, and I thought I can also be a little bit more determined. It's a role models are very important. Yes. Murali. Yes.
I don't really have a question, but you were asking the experience of this meditation, and today I didn't have a especially deep experience, but when I read this part of the Bhagavatam first time, mm-hmm. many, many years back, I started practicing this meditation on a daily basis.
Wonderful.
It became, I wanted to try it out. You say you try out something of the Bhagavatam. So I was trying it out. And it became very helpful to me because I could visualize the Lord to such an extent that it became the main part of my service, which were distributing books. So I would visualize the lotus in the heart of the people and the feet of the Lord.
Wonderful.
And I would talk to them on one level, But on another level, I will pour water on the lotus feet of the Lord. And I just knew if I do it in a satisfactory way to the Lord, they will take the book. And it was really working. It was something like, you just pour a little more water, you talk with the people, you keep a wonderful conversation, but actually what was really happening was this visualization, and people, they would just give the money, and it was wonderful, really something. If such a thing is done on a regular basis, you can, it's like a weapon, you can just take it.
Mm-hmm.
You can it become very accessible to you.
Yeah. Hare, thank you very much. I will not make a comment to this devotee realization. Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you very much for sharing. Our Prabhu.
Srila Prabhupada often says the process is easy, and also the example you gave of Jiva Goswami, it seems you only have to buy the Nagiwik and die and you go to Vaikuntha. But to me, these stories are only to encourage newcomers, and that they are not fact. Is this understanding correct?
For you, these are enticements for newcomers.
Yes, but just to encourage you.
Not effect. Srila Prabhupada deals with this question in the Nectar of Devotion, because there many statements are, when one does this, then the Lord. And he says sometimes these revelations may not come immediately. You know, like you do this, and then this happens. That is certainly there. But the work Harinam Chintamani, it may come delayed. I remember a particular incident. Now, this is very good that I can remember this. There is a statement that when someone pulls the Ratha Yatra car, he becomes liberated from material existence. And Prabhupada was asked if this takes place in all circumstances. And Prabhupada said, the blessing is there, but if one does something against the blessing, then it may not come. It's almost like a patient who goes into the hospital, but upon when he goes out, he may do some activities which are causing the disease to reoccur, like drinking alcohol, for instance, or eating the wrong preparations. So the spiritual blessings are there, but when they take place, so to say, this is up to the Lord and also up to your sincerity. But they are there. No. Sometimes I feel that our devotees are a little bit, and I can understand this, disappointed. I thought it's so easy. This was a little bit in your question, but I'm practicing since quite some time, and others have also practiced even for longer. And they have come back to a situation in their life which is less than before. What is going on here? It always says, when you read carefully, you must practice properly. Prabhupada once gave the example, when you put fire to straw, will it always burn? He said, no, when it's wet, it will not burn. So we have this experience, and we have a wooden stove in Germany, Karuna Bhavan, and sometimes I come running out of the house, almost choking and falling on the ground because I can't lit the fire properly, and then it's full of smoke. Should I therefore give up the process of heating? No, one has to learn to do it properly. This is very, very important. I think it's unfair to point at the shastras and the process when we are not applying ourselves properly to the process, and if you feel there is no result, you must study why, where could be the mistake. I believe very much in it. If you ask me as a Maharaj, tell me personally something honest, from the microphone, does it work or not? I really feel it works. That's the basis why I see so, and I'm an insignificant person. There's so many wonderful devotees who, at least in my friendship circle, I know there's a very astonishing example of the process which works. We may not apply it so well sometimes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other question at this moment? Yes. Our Matajis are silent. Then we will have one last question from Kala Kanta, and then we will stop. Mm-hmm.
Maharaj, I wanted to ask a very strange question, but it came up in my mind just now.
Mm-hmm.
Why are certain anarthas easy to give up and certain very difficult?
Why are certain anarthas easy to give up and some very difficult? It's a question of how deep they are rooted in their hearts. It means how often you have done them. For instance, if you are, had a lot of sensual relationships and then enter the brahmacharya ashram, it is most probably more difficult for you to stay in celibacy than if you joined in a younger age, because the sanskaras, the impressions which demand more engagement, are not so deep. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you go to fulfill material desires, they come back to you double as strong. You know, you want to do more of this. So this is one reason. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had Kala Kanta. I'm sorry, I'm feeling I will go up. I will be as brief as possible, please, also, because we want to end at 7. Yes, Kala Kanta.
So my question now, I feel it may be connected to the last question. You just mentioned that there should be not only transcending, but also transforming. So my just practical question is, how can we recognize what can be transcended? And
very good. Kala Kanta is a scientist. How can we recognize what is transcending, what is transforming? Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a very, very interesting method in Chaitanya Shikshamrita. He says, when there is a certain anatta, the devotee will meditate about a certain pastime of the Lord. We also do this. We will meditate. We will hear the pastime of Sankashuddha. Mm. And simultaneously, he will ask the Lord for help. Please, help me in this specific anatta. You follow? In other words, there will be some direction all of a sudden in his practice. For instance, you may have a certain anatta. Let us make an innocent example. You may always eat too much potatoes. You know it's not so good for your constitution, but it's just too good to resist, especially when there's butter and salt available. And so on, and you really know it is, I'm giving an ignorance. So you pray to the Lord, you do a spiritual process, and you whatever works, and then you pray to the Lord, please help me to control this tongue, and so on. You have to go directly with whatever it is. You can go confidentially to the Lord. Mm-hmm. There's our Mataji from India. No? From Thailand?
Maharaj, it's just a you mentioned something about Pirtu Maharaj, that you know, if you recite his story and then eventually you would get wealth. But there's a lot of stories in the Bhagavatam where it says that once, if you narrate this story, all your past sins will go away. There's so many stories like that, but still it doesn't seem to take any effect on me. So why, where am I going wrong in that sense?
Ah, Krishna, yes. Mataji again goes to this, a very deep and very personal question. Doesn't if you tell this story, it says all your sins go away, but doesn't take effect, it seems. I will approach your question for my first answer is it will. No, you have an answer now. What do I do wrong? I don't know. I don't know you.
How do you know
haven't you experienced, Mataji, when you are sincerely preaching to someone and you're giving them Krishna consciousness and you feel how they become inspired? You feel relieved, no? You go happy into the bed and you go, ah, oh, my life is worthwhile, and so on. There's some relief is there of something. We have all experienced this. You remember the time where you talk maybe to your sister or to someone of your relatives or your friends, and you talked maybe not that one particular story, but something about Krishna consciousness. You felt relieved. This is, I think all devotees know this natural relief. And of where you do things wrong, I do not know you, so I can't say.
But that feeling of
And some are coming a little later, postponed. The devotees are so wonderful. They want to believe. Maharaji goes like, thank you. I think by this faith alone, you're pleasing Krishna. There's another explanation which is a little complicated. It is that simultaneously we do something, we continue with our material life, but something on the other side builds up. That is our bhajan mukhi sukriti. This is good things which will bring you to bhakti. So there may be someone who leads an impossible life, not you, but someone. And at the same time, he always comes and gives donations, and I'm such a sinner, and oh, God, have mercy on me. And, you know, he really also suffers. He gets into a car accident or into a lying propaganda or so. So he gets the reactions of his material life. But at the same time, the good things which he accrues for giving donations to the deities is piling up. Like this. So maybe this is the case. Oh, these Hare Krishnas have explanations for everything.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your faith, and have faith. By faith you can move mountains. Now we have 2 minutes after 7 and we will end here because at 7:30 we have everything. Thank you very, very much. Please be with us tomorrow. Also, I wish you a wonderful evening and a good continuation of your seminar week. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, go Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo.
One essential element of bhakti is, as Rupa Goswami,
lose the peace.